Well, this morning we're doing something a little bit different, and our goal for this morning is that we'll have a better understanding of the worthy walk as Paul describes in the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians 4, he calls it a worthy walk, and then he gives us some aspects of this walk. In Ephesians 5, he says, walk in love, walk in light, walk in wisdom. May we make application of God's word, and may we walk out in this world in love, light, and wisdom. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 4 as we think about the Christian life as it's described as a walk. The truth is the Christian life is described as many things whenever you look in the New Testament. In Hebrews 12, he says, run the race with endurance. In 1 Corinthians 9, it's seen as a boxing match. We're not to be beating the air. We're to have purpose. We're to have vision. We're to be disciplined in our lives. And then in Ephesians 6, we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against authorities in the heavenly places. And in Ephesians 4 and 5 that we're going to be looking at this morning, as well as many other places in the scripture, we see that the Christian life is described as a walk. In Colossians 2:6, it says, therefore, as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him. How did we receive Christ Jesus? We receive him by faith in Jesus Christ. And so we're to walk by faith. Faith is taking God at his word. And so we are to live life based on the word of God. We're to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16 tells us that we walk in the Spirit, will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. So it's a walk of faith based on the word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. So what does this walk look like? In Ephesians 4:1, he describes the walk as a worthy walk. We're to walk worthy of what we have been called, and we're going to think about what we're called as believers in Christ. And then we see that we are to walk in love, walk in light, walk in wisdom, the three aspects that we see of the worthy walk. In the Greek, the word walk has the idea of lifestyle. It's walking day by day, step by step, living in God's power. So let's think about this walk. In Ephesians 4:1, it's called a worthy walk. Ephesians 4:1 says this, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. So he gives them the charge, and he says to walk in this manner, walk worthy of the calling which we have been called. And as I said, the New Testament, we're called, us as believers are called many things. We're called saints because we're set apart in Jesus Christ. We're set apart and we are to walk different than what the world walks as a set apart one in Jesus Christ. We're called Christians. We're called Christians because we put our faith in the person of Jesus Christ. We're called Christians because we're in the body of Christ at the moment we put our faith in him. We're called ambassadors for Christ because we are his walking representation here on this earth. And so we are to walk as ambassadors. We are to proclaim Jesus Christ. That's what we are to do as an ambassador of Christ. We are to walk as his representative and we are to be his witnesses. We are to be begging people to be reconciled to God through the person of Jesus Christ. But many times we are called children of God. And in the verses that we're going to see even this morning, we're going to see several times that we're called children of God. And so we're to walk worthy of our standing, of our position with God. We are to walk as we have this relationship with God as our Father and us as his children. So oftentimes, though, how do we walk? We walk like the world. We walk and we try to keep up with the people that are down the street. We try to imitate them. We want what they have in their lives. We want the things and the possessions that they have. So we're more interested in trying to keep up with the Joneses than trying to keep up with Jesus, who is our example. And we'll see that even this morning, that our example in how to live the Christian life, how to walk in the Christian life, is based on his example. So we're to stand out from this world. We're to be different because of our relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father. The Christian life is described as a worthy walk, but there's three aspects of this walk that we see in Ephesians 5, that we are to walk in love, walk in light, walk in wisdom. Look with me at Ephesians 5, verse 1, as we see that we are to walk in love. Ephesians 5:1 says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. So first, we are to be like God. We're to be imitators of God. And I talked about this a couple of weeks ago whenever I taught on Sunday morning that I see Lauren and the way that she lives her life. In many of the things that she does, she imitates me, who is her father. And many of us, we say, well, yeah, but whenever I grow up, I don't want to be like my father and my mother. But so often, because they have such an influence, they're the ones that we spend the most of our time with, that we end up being like our father and mother, even sometimes whenever we don't want to be. But in the circumstance with God being our heavenly father, we want to be like him. We want to be imitators of God, and we want to do it by the example of Jesus Christ. Look on with me to verse 2. It says, walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. So we're to walk in love, and we're to do it by the example of his son, Jesus Christ. It's a sacrificial love. It's an unconditional love. You think about Jesus Christ. He sacrificed. He gave up his life for you and me so that we could have a relationship with him, so that we could walk with him. And so it's a sacrificial love, and that's the example of love that we are to show in our lives. It's unconditional love. He doesn't just love us if we love him. He doesn't just love us when we're doing right and doing good. He loves us with an unconditional love. It's always a love that is strong. That's the example of which we are to love by. Love is an action. It's not a feeling. We're to walk in love. Love is the key characteristic in the Christian life, in the Christian walk, is love. Whenever we started here at Stillwater Bible and we started these grow groups, our first lesson or first semester's worth of lessons was on the one another's. And what did we say the overarching one another was? Love, exactly right. And we said if we're loving one another, then what's going to be happening? We're going to be forgiving one another. We're going to be fellowshipping with one another. We're going to be bearing one another's burdens. We're going to be fulfilling all of the other one another's. The same thing is true in the Christian life. We need to be loving one another. We need to be having that overarching theme. When Jesus Christ was asked, what is the greatest commandment? What did he say? Love. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you do these things, then all the other commandments will fall in place. You'll be fulfilling all the other commandments if you're putting others ahead of yourself, if you're loving God and loving others. So it's the key characteristic that we are to see as we are to walk in the Christian life. Loving God and loving others. But under the law, what did he tell us? He's told us to love others as we love ourselves. But under grace, Christ tells us to love others as he loved us. It gets even a stricter love. In John 13, 34 and 35, he said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, you also love one another. By this, all men will know you are my disciples, by your love for one another. So a new commandment I give to you, and that is to love one another, but not just like you've been loving one another. Do it as I have loved you. That's unconditionally and sacrificially. That's the example by which we are to love others. We are not just to live by example. We're to love by the example of Jesus Christ. Notice this. All men will know we are his disciples. How? By our love for one another. We're to walk in love. We're to show love to God and to love others. How did God show us his love? He gave his only begotten son. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that we may have eternal life. 1 John 4:9-10. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent his only begotten son into the world so that we might live through him. So that we may live not just any life, but that we may live an eternal life. And whenever you think about this life, this eternal life, it doesn't just have an aspect of length of time. We always talk about eternal life and it's life that lasts forever. But there's also a quality that goes with eternal life. We possess eternal life at the moment we believe in Christ. So I'm living out my eternal life starting today. And so we are to walk in that eternal life. We are to do as Christ did.
Because he is our example in how we are to walk. He is our example in the way that we are to love one another. So God showed us his love through sending his son to be the sacrifice. How can we show love? Well, there's three ways that I'm going to talk about that we can come and show love to other people. The first way is sharing the gospel. I mean, that's the key to everything, because without the gospel, people have nothing. Without the gospel, people are dead in their trespasses and sins. Without the gospel, they are in darkness. They are darkness, as we'll see here in just a minute. So we need to be sharing the gospel with other people. That's the greatest way that we can show love. We can tell other people that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to die and to rise again, so that whosoever believes in him, and that includes you, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so if you're sitting here today and you don't know where you would go if you were to die today, you can put your faith in the person of Jesus Christ, the one who died and rose again, and he will give you as a gift everlasting life. The greatest act of love that we can show to this lost and fallen world is the gospel. The second thing we can do is to serve one another. We've been looking at the Holy Spirit in grow groups over this semester, and we said that one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is he empowers us. He gives us gifts, and he gives us those gifts, talents, and abilities so that we can serve others within the body and so that we can serve others in the community. We serve others, and it's a walk. It's as we walk in this world. It's as the things that we do, we are to be serving one another. We can do it in both words and deeds. We do it as we show people, as we reach out and touch people. We do it as with our words. In Ephesians 4:29, he's just said that let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so to give grace to those who hear. So in our words, we are to be loving. In our deeds, in our actions, in the way that we interact with other people, we are to be showing love by serving one another. And then number three is living in unity. Paul has been talking all about unity throughout this letter. In Ephesians 4:11 through 16, which is one of the key passages for us here at Stillwater Bible, he's talking about growing and being in unity. In Ephesians 4:32, he says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you." And so we're to be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving each other. How? By the example of Jesus Christ, who also forgave us. So we're to allow love to cover a multitude of sins so that we can be in unity. The first aspect of the worthy walk is to walk in love, just as Christ loved us. It's unconditionally and sacrificially. The second aspect is to walk in light. Look at Ephesians 5:8. It says, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Notice it doesn't say that we lived like darkness. It said we were darkness. We were darkness, but now we're light. We were dead, but now we're alive in Jesus Christ. And then the charge is to live out as children of light. What does it mean to walk in the light? It means to walk in purity. It means to walk in life doing the right things. Philippians 2:14 and 15 says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing." Boy, that's pretty easy to do, isn't it? "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you are to appear as lights in this world." We are to live blameless lives. We're to live lives that are above reproach so that we'll stand out and our light will shine and show that we are different from the world. Our light will show others their darkness. It will expose darkness to them. We are not to be the ones judging and going out and telling people that they're wrong. But many times if we live a right lifestyle, if we walk worthy of our calling as children of God, if we let the light of God, of Jesus Christ, reflect back on other people, many times it will convict them and they will see that the things that they're doing in their life are not worthy of what they are to be doing, whether they be children of God or those out there in the world. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So we are to walk and let our light shine before men. We are to let our light shine. And I know that many of you who are here today don't always listen to everything that I have to say. So I incorporated a little helper to help me to encourage you to remember to let your light shine. I heard that, you know, just like Susie said and Chelsea said, nobody's going to listen to you for the rest of the time, so you might as well quit now. But anyway, so maybe that'll be a reminder as we walk throughout the rest of this week that we are to walk in light. We're to let the light of Jesus Christ be a reflection of our lives, because we are to imitate him in the lives that we live. In 1 Thessalonians 5:5, it says that we are sons of light. And so again, that aspect of we are children of God, we are children of the light. In 1 John 1:7, we are to walk in the light as he himself is in the light. Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John, he is seen as the light of the world, and we are to walk as a reflection of his light. So we've seen that we are to walk in love, we are to walk in light, and finally, we are to walk in wisdom. We're to live out the Christian lives in wisdom. That means we're to be living out the truths that we see from the word of truth. Look with me at Ephesians 5:15. It says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise." He says, "Therefore, be careful." That means be intentional with the way that we walk. Sometimes we just walk through life and we don't pay attention to what we're doing. We're not making the most of our time, as he's going to tell us here in just a minute. So we need to be intentional. We need to be careful how we walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Why? Because the days are evil. We're going to see that here in just a minute. So we are to walk in wisdom, though. Walking in wisdom is knowledge and application. That's what equals wisdom. Knowledge of God's word and application of God's word makes one wise. There's so many people that know a lot about God's word, but they make no application. And knowledge alone puffs up. Knowledge alone leads to pride. We are to walk in wisdom, wisely walking by what we know. And a key aspect of wisdom is found in verse 16. It says, "Making the most of your time, because the days are evil." A wise believer makes the most of the time that God has given to them. Why? Because the days are evil. If you don't radically, intentionally live your lives, then the evil things of this world is going to take up all of your time. It's going to consume all of your time. If we lose time, we can't get it back. If we lose money, we can go make more. If we wreck our car, we can go buy a new one. But if we lose time, that time is gone and there's no way to get it back. So we need to value our time. If we don't make the most of our time, if we're not doing the things that are profitable, if we're not, if we don't schedule our time wisely, then we're going to do one of two things. We are either going to waste it on things that are sin. If you have nothing to do for a period of time, many times what happens is your mind goes off onto the things of this world. The riches, the things that are not profitable and that are actually sin in our lives. But the second thing is that we waste it on things that are permissible yet not profitable. And that's how much of our time is spent. Well, I don't have anything to do all evening, so what am I going to do? I'm going to go home and I'm going to put the clicker in my hand and I'm just going to sit here and watch some TV. And before you know it, 3 or 4 hours of your life has passed and it's wasted on something that is permissible but yet not profitable. We'll get on the internet and we'll surf and we'll be looking at this and that and the other. We'll get on Facebook and look at the lives of so many people that we really have no connection with. There are friends on Facebook, but I haven't seen them in 42 years. And we'll spend our time there. And so we're doing something that's permissible, but yet not profitable. We need to make the most of our time. That's what Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, that we are to lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us so that we can run the race with endurance, with our focus in the right place, with our focus on Jesus Christ. So lay aside those things that are slowing you down as you walk the Christian life. Many believers go through life seeking to live for self and not really having a goal or a plan or a focus on what they are to do. And there is the old saying, and it is so true, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So we've got to be planning our lives. What are we going to do with our lives? What's the purpose of our lives? What's our end goal? The greatest person to look at is Ezra. In Ezra 7:10, it says, "For Ezra purposed in his heart." That means that he had a plan for his life. And his plan was threefold: to study the law of the Lord, to practice it, to make application of his life. So he was living in wisdom. So he was walking in wisdom. And then teaching the truths and principles that he had to other people as well. So let's live wisely. Let's make the most of our time. So many people, when you ask them about their priorities, they'll tell you that God is one of the priorities in their life. But the truth is, you can tell what people's priorities are by looking at two things. You can look at their date book and their checkbook, and you can see what the priorities are in their lives. So if you want some time to reflect this afternoon on what we've studied this morning, go to your date book and your checkbook and see where your priorities lie. See if you are making time for God and His Word. If you have time for a quiet time. If you have a time to study God's Word. Do you have time to take what you've been taught and entrusting it to other people? Do you have other people on your calendar other than yourself or your friends or your family? Are you investing in lives of other people in a Christ-like manner? And then your checkbook, where are you spending your money? Is it on cars and jewelry and things like that? Or are you investing it in your church? Are you investing it in lives of other people that you're discipling? That's how we can tell where our priorities lie. We need to be scheduling time with God and with others, investing not only in today, but investing in our future. Now is the time that we can serve our Savior. How we live now determines our rewards and our places of service in the eternal kingdom. The truth is, soon this life will be past, and only what we've done for Christ will last. That's the only thing that we can take with us for all eternity. So let's be living for Him. Let's be making the most of our time. Look on with me to verse 17. It says, "So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." We've seen what the will of the Lord is this morning. It's to walk in love, walk in light, walk in wisdom. Don't be foolish. Don't leave God out of your date book. Don't leave God out of your checkbook. Make Him a priority in your life and let it be seen. He goes on in verse 18 and says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for this is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." What happens when people get drunk with wine? We say that they are under the influence of alcohol. We don't want to be under the influence of alcohol. We don't want to be under the influence of this world. We want to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit, letting Him have control in our lives, living influenced by the Holy Spirit. If we walk by the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the desires of the flesh. We don't have to worry about what we're not supposed to do. Let's worry about what the Bible tells us to do. Walk in love, walk in light, walk in wisdom. If we're doing those things, then we will not be fulfilling the desires of the flesh. We'll walk as Christ's example. We'll walk the Christian walk. We'll walk worthy of our calling as children of God. So what have we seen this morning? As believers, we are to live our lives worthy of being children of God. We are called children of God. We're called saints. We are called Christians, and we need to live as we've been called. We need to walk worthy of being children of God. We are to walk in love as we love God and love others. We need to put Him as a priority, loving Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. We're to be loving others as Christ loved us, sacrificially and unconditionally. And then number three, we are to walk in light by living holy lives for God's glory, blameless and innocent, without grumbling or disputing. Those are the types of lives that we are to be living if we're going to walk the way that Christ walked. And we are to walk in wisdom, knowing and applying God's word while making the most of our time that we have here on this earth to touch lives for Him. Each and every one of us have no idea as to how much time that we have left. So we need to invest every moment that we have. We don't need to be wasting our time, but we need to be investing it while we're here on this earth. Not for the things of this earth, but for the eternal things that He has for us to do.